wants us to embrace His love. I just felt this morning that He in God's presence today, that He really wants to touch people, that He wants to change our lives. Father, thank You that we can just stand here this morning and in worship, Lord God, and in Your presence, it's where we change, Lord God. You don't change, but we do, Lord. And Father, we can just worship You, Lord God, and thank You for Your gift of love, Lord God, Your unconditional love towards Your children, Lord God. Is there anyone that have something on your heart this morning, something you want to share, something that you feel that's for the church?
Everyone to close their eyes, and then the picture that God shares with me, you'll be able to relate to it, and I really want you to respond to it, because I believe that God wants to just clean out or just restore. And I just want everyone to close their eyes. God is just showing me that your fences that you've been keeping up, the devil has come and actually come and cut those fences, and the small foxes have been coming in and have been burrowing holes. And you've seen how it's been destroying some of the roots, producing godly fruits, and that they're no longer producing that fruits, and that it's actually old stuff, stuff from the past, that has been allowed to come back in, where the devil has come just to cut some of those fences. And I just believe God wants to supernaturally restore those fences. And if you feel in your spirit that God is speaking to you, I just quickly want you to raise your hand. It's been all things that has been coming back again. Old past sin or old past habits. And I really just, those of you that quickly raised your hands, I really want you to come forward, that we just quickly pray for you, because God wants to raise up a fence that cannot be cut. He wants to raise up a fence by His Spirit that will not allow those foxes to come in, but we need to first chase those foxes out. So I really want you to, that lifted your hands, quickly just to come forward. Okay, and then if there's someone that also wants to share something else, also to come forward, just to quickly share that as well.
He's saying, Johnny was saying, as we're singing, I just felt in my heart like, I could feel a sense of anxiety, a sense of depression, I don't know, sense of stress. And I just felt God say that, you know, greater is He that is in us than the one that is in the world. And I just want to read Galatians 4, from 4 to 6, that says, but when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, so to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Thank you.
I saw this picture just when we were singing of an eagle that was surrounding us, and it was making these huge loops. And I just felt that an eagle has such amazing eyesight. It can see from very high, small things on the ground. And I just felt that some of us here have some things that are sins in our lives, and we think God can't see them, but He can see them. He's got the eagle eye. But I don't feel that God wants us to feel condemned. I feel that He has got love in those wings, or love. Love covers sin. Love sets you free. And it's actually like, I feel that He wants you to not feel ashamed, that He died for you to be free. And I just want to read the scripture that I read in this first service again, where it says, because I believe God wants to bring light into that area. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness. And your righteousness, because of Jesus, you've been made right before God. And your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer, and you shall cry, and he will say, here I am. But from our side, our response has to be, Jesus, I need you in this area. Won't you bring your light, and won't you help me? Won't you help me stop believing the lies and walk in the light? And you know, it's not necessarily fear, sins that we think. It might even be the sin of unbelief or of fear that Jesus wants to set you free of.
Amen. So if there's any people here this morning and you would like to respond to this or to something else, even if you feel there's other general ministry, we would love to pray with you. We're just going to take a moment and we would love to pray for these ladies. We're still at the place of worship. So if you are here this morning, don't be a spectator. Intercede now, pray. If there's anyone else, I want to invite you this morning to come and stand here. Maybe you just have to stand here. Maybe you don't have to do anything, but just respond to the words or to God's love this morning. Amen. For your house, Lord God, this is the house of the Lord, Lord. And as we can be planted here, Lord God, and this is where we will flourish, Lord. This is where we will be healed, Lord, and receive ministry, Lord God. And I just thank you, Lord God, for all the ministry today, Lord God, and where we had such a word, Lord God, that you will really speak to us this today, Lord, and that you want to do something special through the worship, Lord. Thank you that you are so faithful. Thank you for revealing your heart to us, Lord. And Father, as many of us were standing and worshiping here this morning, Lord God, that things, heavy things could just, as we lift our hands, that heaviness could just fall off our shoulders, Lord God, that in your presence, Lord God, that we are renewed, Lord God, and yes, Father, that you change us, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that the river of love, Lord God, the love of Jesus Christ, Lord, will flow through all of our hearts, Lord. That you will bring healing to dark places, Lord God. And wherever there's gaps in our lives, Lord, gaps where the enemy wants to come and steal, kill or destroy, Lord God, we just plead the blood of Jesus Christ over us, Lord God, that no spirit will come and minister to us, Lord God, in any way, Lord God. We belong to you. We cry, Abba, Father, and we just want to listen to your voice, Lord, and the voice of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, that we will be overflowing, Lord God, that we won't just look at the circumstances of our lives and think about the challenges, but that we can look through your eyes, Lord God, and that we can see how small they actually are, that we serve an awesome God, that we serve a mighty God and a powerful God, Lord, and Father, that we can just come to you and that we can share hearts with you, Lord God. And I pray for every person here, Lord God, that's battling with any type of a fear, Lord God. I pray in Jesus' name right now, Lord God, that whatever spirit of ministering, that it will go away in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, that you haven't given us a spirit of fear, but of love and hope and power and a sound mind, Lord God. We stand on that. We stand on your word and what you have given us, Lord. Thank you for your presence here, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's wonderful to have all of you guys and girls and people here. Some of you will greet now as we've done before. Some of you, it's wonderful to have you and to still walk a road with you guys. Yeah, if you can just bring my Bible and those notes, it will be awesome. I think I'll have to totally prepare my sermons in a new way, because every time lately when I start to preach, there's only about 20 minutes left. And that's a real problem. That's a real good problem. The reason being is I know some of the youth need to go, need to leave. They need to go to rest for lunch at about 12 o'clock. So I'm going to try my best this morning to, you know, when we prepare sermons, we work through things, and usually we've got something in our hearts that we want to share, and there's an argument that you build, and usually when you take a few bricks out, then it becomes a little bit more difficult. So I'm going to try and get right to the point this morning. And if you are visiting here this morning, please bear with us. I know that Jesus, about I think in 11 out of his 39 parables, he talked a little bit about money and things related. So I haven't done that lately quite a lot. So if Jesus did it quite a lot, I believe I'm a few sermons on money behind, if I can talk about that. But nevertheless, I want to share a little bit on tithing, going from glory to glory. And I want to start off by reading to you from the next slide. Tithing originates before the law of Moses. The tithe was confirmed in the law of Moses to provide for God's house was never cancelled or stopped in the New Testament, but simply adapted, was taught by the early church fathers, and is still relevant for the New Testament believer. And as I want to say, I really want to you guys to hear my heart this morning. This is one of those topics I've noticed that many times when we talk about church or leadership in church, authority, or maybe even money, that many people they take a step back because it's like, okay, yeah, Pastor, now you're gonna leave me, now I'm gonna lost you or lose you or something. But that is not what I want to do this morning. My heart is not really this morning to try and prove the tithe to you or where it comes from. I'm not gonna go to all of that, but actually that we aren't living in the times of the Old Testament anymore. We're living in the times of the New Testament anymore. Now, so if I were to ask you a question this morning, as believers in this dispensation of the church, okay, if the standard in the Old Testament, the tithe, was 10%, should we now give 10%? Should we give less? Or do we need to give more? Who says we need to give more? 3 people, 4 people, 5 people, a few people. Who of you say no, still 10% is good enough? Also, here and there, a few hands. Who says they think we really are, there's grace, so we are not under the law anymore, we can just now give what we want to? Who thinks we can just just give anything? Okay, that's good news. That's going to make my preaching a little bit easier. The thing is, the point I'm going to make, and I want to make, and this is where I believe the sermon is getting challenged, or I'm challenged this morning, is doing it in a little bit less time than I prepared. But nevertheless, many times you would hear people say, and maybe I, at certain stages of my life, felt like I really want to say that. Maybe you've said it or heard other people saying it, that, you know, something happened, and then you say, but, oh, well, fortunately, there's grace. We feel like I've done now this or that, but there's grace for that. Now, that can be dangerous. It can be dangerous. Pastor Tiens Jacobs preached a very good sermon last year. It is on our website if you haven't listened to it. We basically spoke about the two extreme places of grace, you know, and try to explain the difficulties or the pitfalls that we can encounter when we don't understand grace in a biblical way, you know. And I think sometimes we want to say, but there's grace for this or that. Now, fortunately, when I look at you guys raising your hands, you raised it basically at the right times. Because what I want to say this morning is that the Old Testament said that we should give 10%. Nowhere in the New Testament there was anything Jesus or one of the apostles said that, listen, the tithe doesn't stand anymore. In fact, I want to show you this morning that we should, Paul is encouraging us to give over and above that, okay? So this is now where I said you need to hear my heart. And fortunately, I can say we already took up the offering, so I'm not going to try and influence you now and preach a sermon where hopefully you will give more. It's not between me and you, it's between you and God and between you and the church. So let me start off. Grace does not give us a license to give less. Grace does not give us a license to give less. Grace also doesn't give us a license to sin. Yes, when we do fall short of the glory of God, yes, we all make mistakes from time to time, talking to each other. We all know that here and there we put our foot wrong. We make mistakes. We sin, just as that word that we have. And God sees it. But you know what God doesn't do is, He doesn't chase us away. He doesn't say, you've sinned now you're not a child of mine anymore. God doesn't work like that. We still stay His children. Let me read to you this morning from 2 Corinthians 9, and I want to read to you from verse 6, 7, and 8. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance of every good work. Now, if we just take this, I think one of the most dangerous things when we study Scripture, and I really want to ask all of you guys to study Scripture. It's a good thing to do. But one of the most dangerous things to do is to take a portion of Scripture and to take it out of the context, because then you're going to run into trouble. Most of the heresies, most of the cults and things that is established comes from a place of wrong interpretation of Scripture. You can almost prove anything out of Scripture if you really want to take something out of context. I mean, if you want to say, well, violence is okay, then you can just go and say, but hey, have you read the Old Testament? It says sometimes 25,000 men fell by the edge of the sword. So if you're not a very good theologian, you can now say, listen, but there's violence in Scripture. God sent the nation of Israel into the promised land. A lot of people got killed, so I guess God is okay with violence. No, wrong. Okay, you need to go and study and to see what was going on there. What was the context of what was happening here? Now, it is very easy to go, and when we look at this very piece of Scripture that I think many times is used in the offering or as motivation when we need to give, then we will say, but you need to give because God loves a cheerful giver. And that's the truth. God does love a cheerful giver. But it also says, let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Okay, so there's the challenge now. It sounds, if we listen to that, we can just give like what we feel in our hearts. If I want to give 5%, that is fine. If I give 10, that is okay. If I give 20%, that is also okay. And then if you throw in the part of grace, then you can think, listen, but that makes sense. It's okay to give whatever you want to. But if you go and read 2 Corinthians, the whole letter that Paul is writing, and you read the whole of chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9, and chapter 10, then you will see the Corinthians. They were really good people in many ways. They came and they said, listen, the church, or they knew the church in Jerusalem is going through a bad time. There's a lot of famine. There's probably drought. They were almost like we feel here in Windhoek right now. It's also quite dry here. But they said, listen, some churches were going to take up like a free will offering. And they said, listen, we want to be part of this. We want to be part of this free will offering that is going to be given to the church in Jerusalem. Okay, so this is, who of you have seen, I hope it was there when the second service the people came in. Did you see there was a bin there when you came in at your right hand side? There was some black on it, some orange, and it said Prochorus. Who of you have seen that? Some of you have seen that. Okay, the other people, I don't know why you haven't seen it, but there's maybe a reason. Point being, that is where we collect certain things. We've got, let's call it a partnership with the church in Ochemuse and with the foster home in Katatura, where we give certain things to them. Okay? But does that Prochorus bin say you must take your tithe there? No, it doesn't. Okay? So you must be really careful when you look at the context of what is written here. It's speaking of a certain type of giving. It's not talking about your tithe right there. So what I want to do is, and this is part of the main thing that I want you guys just to leave with. If I can tell you a small part of the sermon that you should take home, then this is the part that is coming. In Matthew 5, verse 17, we see Jesus is basically saying that, listen, you're not allowed to, I think it's up there, no, it's not going to, Matthew 17 is not going to be up there. But basically, this is where we know there was an Old Testament, Jesus is preaching here, and he's speaking to the crowd, and he's saying to them, listen, I'm going to interpret certain things that was said in the Old Testament, and I'm going to give you the right interpretation right now, how it's going to apply to the people right there, but also for me and you today. And then he takes six things, and he shares about it, he ministers on it, and I want you guys to see those people. You all know what it looks like when people do high jumping. Is that the right word? High jump, hoogspring, high jump? Is that okay? Now, I think some of us, Yeah, a lot more younger people here. Maybe some of you are very good at it. But in the first service, I think many of us, we could just call it not high jumping, but just crashing. Because some of the guys here in their mid-30s, if we were to go elegantly over that pole like the super athletes do, maybe it's the tall guys like Reinhold or some of them, maybe Richard even, will be good with that. But it's something difficult. Now, what I want you to see that picture. Okay, Jesus is coming and he's actually lifting that bar. Let me read to you. Matthew 5, 27 and 28. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Okay, now this is lifting the bar. In the Old Testament, if you were caught in adultery, you were guilty. Okay, then you were missing it, you were getting it wrong. But now Jesus said, listen, it's not about just catching you doing something wrong. If you are just in your mind or heart trespassing, if I can call it that, okay, then you are already guilty. Now that's lifting the bar. That is making something more difficult. Because if we all know what it will look like if you catch two people in an adulterous relationship. But as you sit here, I mean, in a sense, any one of us here in this hall can be busy with a type of adulterous, lustful thought right now, and the person next to you might not even know that. You see why the bar is lifted? You're going to know it, the Holy Spirit is going to know it, and God, as we heard with that eagle's eye this morning, nothing we can't hide anything from God. He will know. So the thing is, it's more tough. But God doesn't, he's not a God or a father that says, okay, well, guys, good luck. I hope you will make it. No, he's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us the Spirit of grace. The New Testament is more glorious than the Old Testament. Okay? It's more glorious. It's something really important that we should know. And we are living in the time of the New Testament. So what we should know is if God said in the Old Testament, listen, the minimum, what you should give is 10%, then what would it be in the New Testament? It should be more. This is why Paul is encouraging people to give more, to give more abundantly. Tithing doesn't save us. We are not saved by good works, but by grace through faith in Christ. So our doing doesn't save us, yet our doing will show if we are truly saved. I believe that is significant. It will show something. Now, just regarding giving, I just want to share a little bit from my own life. I remember when I was not a Christian yet, but I did go to church. You know, I looked for those silver coins in my purse, you know, and I gave that, and I felt that was okay, you know. So I wasn't close to giving 10% in any way, but I was giving something, and the guys and the friends of mine next to me was giving the same. I thought it was okay. And if my wife was here, she would be able to tell you a wonderful story about in 2005 when we were still not married and just still very in love in a certain way. We were there in South Africa at a certain spa, and I remember, I think it was my change, but she had it. And we bought something, and there was something like $5 change. I was looking at her after she paid and got the change, and I was like, it's mine, give it, thanks. You know, I wasn't a big giver. I tried to collect money. I remember my dad always, when me and my sister, we were young, we had certain duties, you know, clean your room, make up your bed and all that stuff. And let's call it, let's use the example. If you do all those tasks, your pocket money can be, for instance, say $100. I always got my $100 because I was motivated by money. My sister, sleep were more important to her. Other things were more important to her. So she probably sometimes got about 50% of the possible pocket money. You see, if you are at a place and you think, many of you are still young, if you are at a place and you think you earn or your pocket money maybe is now $200 or $500 or $1,000, I don't know what, or you earn this or you earn that, and you think that when you get older or you get promoted and you earn more, you will become a tither. I promise you, you will never get to that place. Because when you're single, you've got certain expenses, but then you get married or you get kids or you get a house or you get dogs or whatever the situation might be, And I promise you, there will always be more things that your money need to go to, more bills to pay than you will have money for. I can promise you that. And I know out of my own life, I've grown over many years. I started off by maybe giving 10% of 10%, then moving to 20% of 10%, to 50% of 10%, until I got to a place where it wasn't this thing for me, because if you work for money, it's hard. Work is hard, you know? And now you need to just give it away. But you see, when we talk about money in the context of Scripture, many times when Jesus ministered on this, it wasn't really about the money. It was about our hearts and our attitude towards the money. You see, money can buy power. Money can buy riches. And it's tough to give something away that is nice to have. I mean, we all like it if you have got some spare money. Then you think like, what can I do with it? Or maybe you never have any more spare money. But the point is, I've grown to a place where it's easy for me at the start of the month or the end of the month when I get my salary and all the bills need to be paid, I start off by giving my tithe first. Not last, hopefully when there's something left. There will never be something left. You start off by doing it. It's when you budget, you start off by budgeting and you're saying, listen, I'm going to stand in faith. Because this whole thing is about faith. Who do you give it to? You give it to a church, but you also give it to God. You give it to the Father. You bring it to the storehouse. Okay, so that is something really important. Whoa, look where our time is already. That's not a good thing. I'm only on page 2 now. So something that we need to see, and I'm going to give you a bit of homework here. Go and read 2 Corinthians 7, 8, and 9. Go and do a little bit of research on that. You see, then you will see grace here isn't a pass to give less. Grace is there to empower us, to help us to become bigger givers, to become cheerful givers. Okay? As from the Old Testament to the New Testament, as we move from glory to glory, okay, that means we need to give more as well. It's not taken away. It's sometimes we will see in some conversations or places or churches or wherever that it's very easy for us to, let's call it, do a bit of blame shifting. If you see, listen, I don't like what I see here in Scripture, we call it, you're under the law or you are legalistic or something like that. Okay? It's very easy to do that, but not at all. This is not a case of being legalistic. It's not a case of being legalistic. Something that I'm going to have to cut a little bit on that I really wanted to share on a little bit this morning was on a heart for God's house. Okay? Because we will see, let me just read to you 1 Timothy. You can go to that scripture of 1 Timothy, 3. 1 Timothy 3. Let me read that to you. At that time, it was the temple of God. But we know that later on, the house of God became the church of the living God. 1 Timothy 3, 13, 14, 15, which is represented by the local church. Jesus had a great passion for the Father's house, and so should every Christian. You see, when we go from King David's time, you'll see many times he wrote about the passion he had for God's house. He had this desire to build God's temple. Okay, now the temple, we are now in the temple. We are God's house here this morning. We are the local church. And Jesus, we will see, if you go and read in the New Testament, you will see he had this passion for God's house. That is why he took a whip and he chased all those people out of the church or the temple that was doing business and things that was defiling it. He said, my Father's house will be a house of prayer. Okay, and he was very zealous for his Father's house, you know. So we should have something that you should know that when you bring your offering, when you bring your tithe, okay, it's between you and God. You bring it to the Father's house. You bring it to the storeroom. We can see there right in the start, in Genesis, we can see, in Genesis, where is that now? In Genesis 28, you see when Jacob makes a covenant with God, we see in that same sentence, we see that when Jacob says, Lord, I will serve you with all I have. Okay, in that same sentence, in that same paragraph, we see that God, that he says, I will give a tenth of everything that you give to me, I will give back to God. So if I were to ask you this morning, the stuff that you have, does it belong to you? Or does Scripture says everything anyway belong to God? Everything already belong to God. God is innocent. He's giving it to us. That is why we should be stewards. If you've got some certain skills and you are really making a lot of money, where did that come from? Maybe I can illustrate the point and I'll have to start to end off, and I don't mean it in a disrespect way. I'm going to cut the story very short anyway. Once there was this scientist and he was telling God, listen, we don't need you anymore. We can clone people. We can do a lot of things with science. And then basically in the conversation, it went like, they were going to have a challenge to see who can create a human. Now, we know God created us, but the scientist said, listen, I can do it just as good. And God said, okay, that's cool. I'm on for the challenge. But God said, let's do it the old way. Let's start with soil, okay? We will, because we know we are created out of ground or soil. Scientist said, it's good. And he went down on his knees and he had like a bowl. And he scooped some soil because there's elements and minerals and stuff in that, because he wanted to go and create a human as well. And God said, no, we're going to start off by leave my soil, get your own soil, okay? And I believe there's something in it. It's just a little story, but there's something in it, you know. Many times we think, but I'm so good, but who created you? Who gave you certain abilities? Who gave you certain qualities? God gives it to us to serve in church, for instance, or in the natural. Some people are lawyers or doctors or nurses or whatever it might be. God gives us leadership skills. I'm going to end off this morning with two things. You can go to that slide about the tithing hasn't been rescinded in the New Testament. There were four things that were signs for people walking in covenant with God in the Old Testament times. And that was circumcision, upholding the Sabbath, making blood sacrifices, and giving the tithe. Now, most of those things, today we don't have to keep the Sabbath in the exact same way as in the Old Testament, although it's still important to have a day of rest. Your day of rest can be on a Friday. My day of rest is on a Friday, not on a Sunday. Sundays I work, in a sense. But all those things have changed. Okay, Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. Okay. For instance, we don't have to make blood sacrifices anymore. But you know what? The tithe, nowhere in the New Testament. I challenge you, any one of you, to tell me where in the New Testament it says that Jesus or any apostle or someone said, listen, the tithe doesn't stand anymore. Nowhere we will see that. In fact, in Matthew 23:23, you can go to that scripture. It's also there, Matthew 23:23, from the Amplified Bible. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, pretenders, hypocrites, for you give a tenth of your mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected and omitted the weightier, more important matters of the law, right and justice and mercy and fidelity. These you ought particularly to have done without neglecting the others. So it's like when your mom tells you, listen, eat your vegetables, but also eat the meat. Both are important to you. The meat or the solid stuff, the important things. But he doesn't say, listen, you can neglect the vegetables or whatever you can call on that. So Jesus came in and he used this example. And he's not saying to us, I mean, if you go and study the New Testament, I'm sure if God wanted to, he could write a whole place. He could use some space in Scripture to tell us exactly, listen, it's okay, guys. You can just give what you want to, in a sense. But the tithe still stands. The tithe is still important. I want to read to you from a guy, John Steinbeck, who wrote to the Washington Post. He once said, a strange species we are. We can stand anything God and nature can throw at us, except having plenty. If I wanted to destroy a nation, I would give it too much, and I would have it on his knees, miserable, greedy, and sick. So many times, when we aren't properly discipled, it's so easy when we get wealthy to kind of say, but God, I don't need you that much. And we see it in many societies when it's really going well. People turn their backs on God. It doesn't have to be like that. But many times, nations, especially Europe, right, in the past century, I think, they've turned their back in many ways to the Lord. and they are reaping now the bad fruits of that. Because you know, when we become like that scientist I've said, you know, it's so easy to say I've got my 2 cars and my 3 houses and my boat and my credit card. What can life throw at me? Until sickness comes, until death comes, or something like that. It's important to understand that money and things are not evil in themselves. They are neutral. It is the value we assign to them and the power we allow them to have over us that causes problems. Money can be used for good or evil. Things can rule us or we can rule over them. So I want to encourage you this morning. Don't let money rule you. Money is a hard master. Okay? You should rule over your money. Go to your income. Go and look at your finances. And I remember once I had a conversation with a gentleman and he said, but you know, and it went about tax and tithing and he said, but you know, there's not really a difference, you know. But there's not, that's so far from the truth. Because we bring our tithe to the storehouse and we pay our tax to the government. God said, give to the king what he deserves, or to Caesar, and give to God what he deserves. Okay? I've never seen any month in the past 48 or more months I've been in full-time ministry that the government came and said, okay, Chef of Windhoek, here's your check. Rent the hall, pay for the music instruments, pay the secretary, do this, the cook sisters or the coffee you had. No. God's people provide for his house. God's people provides for his house. Our daily battle is not between serving God or the devil. Our battle is between serving God or our stuff. Jesus said that mammon will compete with God's lordship in our lives like nothing else. And then in Matthew 6:24, to end off with, no one can serve two masters, for either you will hate the one and love the other, or else you will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Okay, there's so many more scriptures. There's so many more principles or parables that we can use to illustrate points when we talk about tithing or about giving or about our hearts or our attitude towards money. But this morning, I really want to challenge you. That I just want to read one last passage to you or sentence. God is the owner of everything. And he has blessed us so that we can be blessings to others and so that his kingdom can be extended on earth. As I said, the government isn't going to look after the church. You look after the church. All of us look after the church. From the beginning, Malachi, in Proverbs, all those scriptures where you will read that the tithe came into the storehouse or God's house. That's why I read that scripture in Timothy. The storehouse is now the house of the living God, which is the local church. That is where you bring. So God has made a way providing for his church that we can be obedient to what he called us to be, to go to the nations, to reach out, to minister, to help, to give to people in need. Amen. Lord, we want to thank you this morning, Father, that we can just as a church come and say, Lord, that everything belongs to you. Father, that our lives, Lord God, and our possessions, that it belongs to you. You have given it to us, Lord God. And Lord, we want to be good stewards, Lord God. We want to say, Lord God, please come and help us with this. If any of us are still caught up at the place where we feel we are masters of our money, everything belongs to us, please help us to think in a biblical way about this, Lord God. And thank you, Lord God, for this point that Jesus has come to illustrate, Lord God, that the principle is to go from glory to glory, from the Old Testament to the New, Lord God, and that Paul is encouraging us, Lord God, to be cheerful givers. I want to thank you, Lord, that you have given us grace, Lord God, not to use it as a license to give less, but grace to empower us, Lord God, to become cheerful givers and to give even over and above a tithe, Lord God. We thank you for that. We stand on that, Lord God. And if there's any chains, Lord God, any hurt, anything holding us, Lord God, slaves to money, Lord God, I pray right now that you will break it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to call you this morning as the youth already late. They must go. You guys can go, please. I don't want you to be late for your lunch. But for the rest of the people, if you are here this morning and there's something about money, maybe money's always been an issue to you. Maybe money is something that you can't sleep. You can't sleep because of money or anything like that. I want to invite you. I'll be here. I'll stay behind. I would love to minister to you afterwards or to talk a little bit about that. Amen. You must have a wonderful Sunday. Enjoy the rest of the day. Be blessed. And we'll see you then in 1 week's time. Thank you.